listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're studying Romans chapter 6. In the past weeks we have studied about the doctrine of justification. Now we are going to study another important doctrine of the church called sanctification. It is important that sanctification is enjoined with justification. Even though they have two separate works, they are not each standing alone without the other. We can't just say that we are justified by God and declared not guilty and then continue on into sin. We must walk worthy of justification and the not guilty verdict that the Lord has given us. We cannot continue in sin. The doctrine of sanctification is going to help us to where we do not continue in sin. Justification is not just a one-time work when we are born again. It is a continuing work that the Holy Spirit does with grace and mercy that is renewed every morning. It's an ongoing work in the believer. And although Jesus died one time for us, that does not mean we have one chance to do good, and if we fail, we can't be justified again. It is a continuing grace that constantly imputes righteousness to our soul and our spirit man forever. It is the new man of Christ Jesus living within us that imparts righteousness to us daily. It is that new nature of Christ that lives in our soul. It's an ever-flowing fountain that enables us to live victorious in each day. Justification has to do with the soul and the born-again experience. Sanctification is also a daily cleansing work of the Holy Spirit in grace and mercy. It has to do with manifesting what is done in justification. It is the exposing of the new nature of Christ, the new man of Christ, in an old man's body, if we could be so bold to say. Christ is the new man. It is His nature that we want to emulate. Many believe it is the Christian's nature becoming new and holy. But the Christian still has the same human nature that leans toward evil and not toward good. The nature that is holy and is pure is the nature that is in Christ that abides in the soul. We draw upon it as you would electricity when you turn on the electric lights. You draw upon that nature that is in Christ. And it enables us to have power that we do not have in the human nature to overcome evil. The human nature will choose evil every time, but the power of Christ in the divine nature of Jesus resists evil and chooses good. Many Christians are tripped up by this fact that the new man is the nature of Christ and not the human nature. They are confused because they believe the human nature can somehow or another become good. It can never become good. The only thing that can be done with it is to be done away with. And it will be done away with when we are raptured and the Lord comes back to get us. But in the meantime, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are of Christ and the nature that He put within us. And so we draw upon His power to resist evil and we rely upon Him daily in our walk with the Lord. Paul calls it a dying daily. We have to die to this old human nature, and then we have to be awake to the righteousness that's in Christ's nature that lives within us. Now, the Holy Spirit is pivotal to this. We cannot even be called to God or even want God if the Holy Spirit didn't draw us to Him. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us unto God. It is the Holy Spirit within us that makes us to want to even obey God, because we do not have it within ourselves to obey Him, nor to even call upon Him. In Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us specifically, when he's contrasting Adam with Christ, that Adam is the old man, the old nature, human nature, evil nature, and the new man is Christ's nature. Adam brought defilement to the soul, but Christ brought righteousness to the soul. We must never forget in whom our power is. It is not in ourselves to live a Christian life and to be victorious. It is in Jesus Christ and His power. Now, we've studied in the introduction to Romans that when God created man, He created the body first, and then He breathed into him a living soul to make him a spiritual being as God is spiritual. We said that both the soul and the body was defiled by the sin of Adam. God had to redeem both the soul and the body on Calvary, but we have concluded that we were redeemed and will be redeemed at different times. The death penalty was removed from the soul of man when he repents and accepts Jesus as his Savior. But on the other hand, there is a delay in the redemption of the body of the believer because God operates under His own laws. A curse was placed upon Adam's soul and his body when he sinned. God redeemed man's soul so that the death penalty is removed from the soul and the spiritual death of the soul. But He has not yet rescinded the curse from the body as yet. It will be redeemed in the rapture when the believer will receive an immortal body that has no corruption in it at all. A redeemed body is a resurrected or raptured body of the believer and is free from all corruption, and it is made as Christ's body is made. We shall be like Him at that time. Now, because we still have corruption in this body, in our human nature, we conclude that the heart, the mind, our passions, and emotions are found in the body because we see corruption in them. We conclude that the body is the seat of emotions, lust, and desires that have a fleshly nature that wars against the nature or the new man of Christ that is in our soul. The old man of Adam is warring against the new man of Christ so that we cannot do the things that we want to do. And that is the warfare that we are in. Because the body is corrupt, it will at death go back to the dust from which it came, along with the passions and the lust of the body, which will also perish with it. The human nature will perish with it. The redeemed soul and spirit of man will go back to God for a new body, clothed in righteousness without corruption. The question is asked, how will God redeem the body? He will redeem the body the same way He redeemed Jesus' body, by the resurrection power that is in Christ that raised Him from the dead. It is the righteousness of Christ that raised him from the dead, and it will also raise us from the dead and take us in the rapture. It is in his righteousness alone that has resurrection power. We have no righteousness, and if we did, it would not be enough to raise us from the dead. It is the new man's righteousness that raises us from the grave, which is Christ. Our lesson today is about power. We're not teaching a gospel void of power. We are teaching there is power in Christ to give a new soul, clean and holy, and to give us power to keep this body of corruption under subjection until Jesus returns to get us. There's a great power in Jesus Christ for the believer. We are powerless without him, but with him we have all power. Christians get into trouble when they think the power is within them to be a new person. But there's no way to live holy except in Christ. Man's spirit is either defiled or it is holy, according to whether we are born again or not. The born-again spirit of man wants to do the things of God, while the defiled spirit of man wants to do the things of the devil or the flesh. The soul is the indicator as to which type of spirit a man has. And without justification, man cannot do the things of God, nor does he even want to. An unjustified spirit of man does not care for the things of God. Therefore, they are not a new man. But they are the old man that cares for the things of the devil and of this world. Does man have power over his own soul and body? Is there any power in the spirit of man to be holy? The natural man does not need power to do evil, because it is inherent in him, and by nature he does evil. He can't help himself. He leans toward the evil naturally. Power is needed when man wants to go toward the good. It is only when the fleshly old man, that defiled spirit of man of Adam's nature, wants to change to a holy spirit of man that he needs power to change. That power is in the work of Christ in the soul and the abiding Holy Spirit that is sent to us. He makes us holy, and he changes our spirit. Then the question is asked, does the old nature, the human nature, the defiled spirit of man, have the ability to become good on his own? Can he change his spirit to become holy and to think good and do good within himself? Does he have power to change his nature from evil to good that is in his body by himself? We have previously asked if man could redeem his own soul or make it clean. We concluded no. Neither can he make his spirit good so that he will obey God's law. It is the same concept. Sanctification is the power of Christ given to the body to help the spirit of man obey Christ and walk in the Spirit. Man must have a higher power than himself to redeem his soul, and he must have a higher power than himself to walk in the Spirit. The Scriptures tells us, walk in the Spirit and will not obey the lust of the flesh. It is the sanctifying of the body from its corrupt human nature to the nature of Christ until such time as the rapture takes place and sets the old corrupt body free. When mortality will give way to immortality and corruption will give way to incorruption. It is a misconception to believe that our spirit man has any power to become holy within himself. We are only a new spirit man in Christ's spirit. Otherwise, we are still in our rags, begging at the throne of God. But with the Holy Spirit of Christ living within us and in His righteousness, we sit at the throne with access to God's wondrous power to overcome any evil, sickness, or trial of life. Now the question has been asked, does the Christian have freedom from sin's power over their life? Or are they doomed just to say, well, I sin every day? Is sin's power broken in the Christian? Romans 6 tells us it is. We have no license to sin. And Romans 6 says we have a new life in Christ. Let's begin reading Romans 6, and we're going to read the whole chapter. It's also telling us that justification is an incentive to holiness and that Christians are under grace, which is the Spirit's law. We're going to read it in the New Living Translation. Sin's power is broken. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we became Christians and we were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, that we died with Him? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in death, we will also be raised as He was. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share His new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. He died once to defeat sin, and now He lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin, and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. Now we have freedom to obey God. So, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you've obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin, your old master, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Before, you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness. Now you must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you will become holy. And in those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good, since now you are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin, and you have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What does it mean to walk in Christ's righteousness? It is a fellowship with Jesus, a continual commune with Him in your walk in this life. The term pray without ceasing is not a ritual on your knees at a certain time in the prayer closet. It is the continual prayer to Him in your heart and mind throughout the day that we talk to Him without ceasing. That fellowship with Jesus gives us power to overcome sin in the first place, and it also gives us power to overcome the results of sin when we fail. The only way to know the mind of Christ is to talk to Him and read His Word. Pray for understanding, and He will show it to you. Sanctification is this walking process that a Christian does to live overcoming lives in Christ. It is in this fellowship that we can crucify the lust of the body, this old nature, this old flesh that wars against the born-again spirit that we now have. We can overcome because Jesus lives within us, and He gives us power to resist evil and to change our lives. His Spirit urges us to walk away from evil influences. Avoid evil. Be watchful and alert. Diligent to guard our souls from defilement by choosing His will over our own. We do have power over sin, but not within ourselves. That is true even for the born again. Don't be fooled into thinking that you can obey God apart from Christ's Spirit. Only what is done in the Spirit of Christ counts, no matter where we are in our Christian walk. I want to read you a chapter out of Max Lucado's book about almost. Almost. It's a sad word in any man's dictionary. Almost. It runs herd with nearly, next time, if only, and just about. It's a word of missed opportunities, aborted efforts, and fumbled chances. Almost. The one that got away, the sale that nearly closed, the gamble that almost paid off. Almost. How many people do you know whose claim to fame is an almost? Did I ever tell you about the time I almost was selected as the Employee of the Year? They say he almost made the big leagues. I caught a catfish that was taller than me. Well, almost. As long as there have been people, there have been almost. People who almost won the battle, who almost climbed the mountain, who almost found the treasure. One of the most famous almost is found in the Bible. Pilate. He almost performed what would have been history's greatest act of mercy. He almost pardoned the Prince of Peace. He had the power. He had the choice. He wore the signet ring. The option to free God's Son was his, and he did it almost. Almost. How many times do these six ugly letters find their way into despairing epitaphs? He almost got it together. She almost chose not to leave him. We almost worked it out. What is it that makes almost such a potent word? Why is there such a wide gap between he almost and he did? In the case of Pilate, we don't have to look far to find an answer. Luke chapter 23 provides the reason. Verse 22. A third time he, Pilate, said to them, the crowd, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no crime deserving death. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But they were urgent and demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. You're right, Luke. Their voices prevailed. and as a result, Pilate's pride prevailed. Their voices were not the only voices, you know. There were at least three others Pilate could have heard. He could have heard the voice of Jesus. Pilate stood eye to eye with him. 5 times he postponed the decision, hoping to gratify the mob. Jesus' silence was much louder than the crowd's demands, but Pilate didn't listen. He could have heard the voice of his wife. She pleaded with him to have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today in a dream. Or he could have heard his own voice. Surely his conscience was speaking to him. There's nothing wrong with this man, a bit mysterious maybe, but that's no reason to string him up. But Pilate didn't listen. He could have heard other voices, but he didn't. He almost did, but he didn't. Satan's voice prevailed. His voice often does prevail. Have you heard his wooings? One time won't hurt. She'll never know. Other people do much worse things. At least you're not being hypocritical. Pilate learned the hard way that this stance of almost is suicidal. Washing your hands 1,000 times won't free you from the guilt of an opportunity ignored. It's one thing to forgive yourself for something you did, but it's something else to try to forgive yourself for something that you might have done but didn't. Jesus never has had room for almost in his vocabulary. You are either with him or against him. With Jesus, nearly has to become certainly. Sometimes has to become always. If only has to become regardless. And next time has to become this time. No, Jesus never had room for almost, and he still doesn't. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Pray this prayer with me. We're thankful, Lord, for the provision you've given us for salvation, for our soul, and for our body. Give us a new attitude that we can arise and waken to righteousness, that we can put on the new man and put off the evil, Lord. And we pray that you would forgive our sins and lead us into thy righteousness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com. secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Later.